Well, I'd like to welcome you today to Trinity Church's online service. I'm so glad that you're able to join with us. If you happen to have a Bible nearby, why don't you grab it, open it up to the book of 1 Thessalonians, and today we're going to be in chapter 5. Well, for those who are joining maybe for the first time today, we're actually concluding a series that we've been in which we've entitled, Why We Pray. You know, while prayer is often cited as important for one's spiritual journey, research tells us this, that it's often underutilized. Meaning this, we believe in the power and the importance of prayer, yet at the same time, prayer is that Christian discipline that we tend to struggle to engage in. Now, some of this tends to be from or some of us have this internal feeling or this internal struggle of knowing what or how to pray, or maybe even feeling like our prayers are unfruitful. That's why over these past few weeks, we've been trying to get to really the very basics about what the Bible teaches regarding prayer. And really, what we've discovered is that at the heart of prayer is a relationship. A relationship between God and us, a relationship that flourishes through conversation. And really, that's what prayer is. It's speaking with God. It doesn't require fancy words. We don't have to have the right religious formula. It's about just sharing our hearts with our Heavenly Father. Now, today, as we kind of conclude this series, what we're going to do is I want to wrap up with addressing some questions that I've heard over the years regarding prayer that I'm calling the why, the how, and the what of prayer. So to begin, let's tackle this topic of the why found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, the part of the scripture I want to focus in on is verse number 17, which states that we are to pray without ceasing. You know, really, what scripture is telling us here is that prayer is to be an active part of our lives, that we are to be people of prayer, that we're supposed to pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean that we spend every single waking moment of our lives praying. I mean, that would be impossible. We have to go to school and we have to go to work and we sleep and we spend time with loved ones. So it's not saying this, that all we're supposed to do in life is pray. What it's saying is that prayer is to be a regular part of our lives. Listen to what the Life Application Bible Commentary on 1 and 2 Thessalonians states. Prayer is not to be done by the church leader only, nor is it meant to be carried out only in worship services. Instead, prayer can be a part of every believer's daily walk. Believers should pray together in worship, spend time alone with God in prayer, and also pray to God throughout each day as the desire to rejoice or the need for help arises. In Luke's gospel in the 11th chapter, the disciples, they come to Jesus and they say, teach us to pray. So Jesus gives them this model of prayer that we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. Maybe you're familiar with it. You know, what I've always found interesting about the Lord's Prayer is the statement that Jesus makes just prior to teaching them this model. And that is Jesus says, when you pray. Jesus doesn't say, if you pray, he says, when you pray. You know, according to Jesus, prayer is to be a regular part of our lives. But I know that this is an area where many of us struggle. Maybe as you're listening, you're going, you know, prayer is one of those things I've had a hard time engaging, or it's one of those things I don't always normally think about. Well, I want to give you a couple pointers that will help you adopt a lifestyle of praying without ceasing. So what does that look like? Well, first, let me encourage you to do this. When you wake up in the morning, before you even get out of bed, spend just a few moments praying. It doesn't have to be fancy. You don't have to, right? You don't have to worry about using, you know, all the right words or religious terminology. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Just spend a few minutes praying, speaking to your Father. So some of the things that you could pray for is pray that God will help you for any challenges that you might be facing during that day. So maybe you know there's something coming up during the day that you want to pray for, whatever that challenge is. All right, maybe you just need to pray God's blessing over your day. Pray God's protection and safety over your day. Or you could pray that God would show you opportunities throughout your day that you can show His love to others. Again, it doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be long-winded. Just simply share your heart. Ask God to bless your day. Ask God to give you an opportunity to show His love. And then begin your day. So you're beginning your day out of a place of prayer. And then as you go throughout your day, I think one of the things that we all share in common is at some points throughout our day, we eat, right? We take some time to kind of unplug, whether that's from school or from work or whatever we're doing, activities, and we eat a meal. Whenever you eat, take a moment before you eat and pray. And the only thing you have to do here is really just thank God for the provision that He has given you. So when you sit down to eat a meal, you're sitting down and you're praying and you're thanking God for the blessing of the food that He has given you. Then at the end of the night, as you're kind of climbing back into the bed, as this, the day is wrapping up, take that time, a few moments to pray again. And maybe then there you would just be praying a prayer of gratitude. Thanks for the day that you had. Thank Him for any of the good things that happened during the day. If there was sin that happened in your life, ask Him for forgiveness. And if you know that there's something coming up the day ahead or maybe into the future, you could pray for that as well. I think that you'll agree that praying this way isn't complicated, right? It's actually pretty easy. And here's the beautiful thing. If you consider that, if you pray in the morning before you get out of bed, if you pray before meals, and let's just say you eat 2 to 3 meals a day, and then you pray at bedtime, you're praying 4 to 5 times throughout the day. And you have these little reminders that help you remember to pray. You know, and what's great is that when we start doing that, what we find is it begins to compound, meaning this, that as you get used to that rhythm of praying, you'll find yourself praying even more. This is how we develop lives of prayer without ceasing. Now, the second topic that we're going to look at today is in regards to how we're to address our prayers, or more specifically, whom exactly are we to pray to? And what I mean by that is some would say that you pray to Jesus. Some would say, no, you're supposed to pray to the Father. Some of us, we were raised in traditions in which we were taught to pray to deceased saints. And the belief was there is that as we prayed to these saints of past who had gone to be with the Lord, that they would then present our prayers to God on our behalf. And you know, all of that, it can be a little bit confusing and it can leave us wondering, well, how exactly are we to pray? Well, luckily, Jesus actually talks about this in the New Testament. Not only do we have His example or His teaching to the disciples in Luke 11 when He gives them this model of prayer, but when you go over to John, the 17th chapter, we actually have an entire chapter dedicated to recording one of Jesus's prayers. And what we see in the two, both in His teaching and in His demonstration, is that prayer is to be addressed to the Father. Jesus teaches us to pray to God the Father. Now, of course, this raises the question within us, well, why? Why are we to pray to God the Father? Well, you know, there's actually a resource that I think can help us with this. In the 16th century, there was an event that took place in the church's history called the Reformation. And about 50 years after the Reformation took place, the Protestant church found itself wanting to better equip its young Christians. So how to teach young Christians to understand the teachings of the Bible. So they created this resource that's referred to as the Heidelberg Catechism. Now, I know that that sounds horribly boring, but I promise you it's not. It's actually full of really important stuff. It's very beneficial for the church. And in question number 120, it addresses this very thing that we're speaking of today. Let me read for you the Heidelberg Catechism, question 120. It asks, why did Christ command us to call God our Father? And it answers by saying this, to awaken in us at the very beginning of our prayer, what should be basic to our prayer, a childlike reverence and trust that through Christ, God has become our Father. And that just as our parents do not refuse us the things of this life, even less will God our Father refuse to give us what we ask in faith. When we pray, we're told to pray to God our Father because it reminds us that God is a Father, that He's a good Father, that He's a loving Father who takes joy in blessing us. Listen to what the psalmist writes in Psalm 35, verse 17. He says, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. You know, as a parent, I get joy from blessing my children. It brings joy to my heart to see them blessed. You know, it's the same with our Heavenly Father. He takes joy in blessing us. And also, when we pray to our Father, really, it's a sign of dependency. As a child, we need our Father to do the things that we can't do. So when we pray, we approach God as a child, knowing that He is a good parent who loves us, who's able to meet our needs, and that He takes joy in doing so. So we're told, pray to God our Father. But we're also told this, to pray in Jesus' name. John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus speaking says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, asking in Jesus' name isn't a magical formula, so we just ask whatever we want in Jesus' name and we just get whatever we want. And we talked about that last week, about how there are times that God won't hear our prayers. And one of those times, as we discovered last week, was if we have the wrong motives. So that's not what Jesus is saying here. What he's saying is when we pray, and we pray in Jesus' name, what we're doing is we're confessing that our faith is in Christ, that we're trusting in what Jesus has done to provide for our salvation, that He went to the cross, that He died for our sins, that He rose, demonstrating that not only had our sins been paid for, but death itself had been defeated. And that through Him, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we now have access to God the Father. I mean, we could think of it this way. Jesus is our bridge to God the Father. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17 and 18 says, and He came, this is referring to Jesus, and He came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. For through Him, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So we pray to the Father through the Son. And we do this all by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that in Ephesians 2:18, where it says that we have access in one Spirit? Now, the Spirit there is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Now, I won't sugarcoat it. The Trinity is difficult to grasp because really, there's nothing like the Trinity that we can compare it to. When we try to use analogies, they all just break down. They all fail. Let me just say this for time's sake, since we don't have time to fully unpack the doctrine of the Trinity, that throughout the church's history, Orthodox Christianity has always affirmed that God is three in one, three persons in one essence. Not three gods, not three personalities, three persons in one essence, one God. And when we pray, what we see here is that all three are involved. All three persons of the Godhead are involved in our prayer. We pray to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. That's why during the Reformation in the 16th century, the Protestant church discontinued praying to deceased saints. We don't pray to Saint Peter or to Mary because they're not God. We only pray to God. We pray to God the Father, through God the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me add this, that there are times that we may want to and need to pray directly to the Son or directly to the Spirit. So for example, we might pray directly to Jesus. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. We might pray directly to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom or give me strength as I face this challenge. So it's not inappropriate, it's not wrong to pray to the Son, it's not wrong to pray to the Spirit. We actually need to do that. But dominantly, what Scripture reveals to us is we're to pray to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. With that said, that brings us to our kind of last area that I want to discuss today, and that is the what question. Meaning this, what does prayer accomplish or what does prayer do? Now, there's really kind of two prevailing thoughts. The first one is that prayer changes God or prayer gets God to do certain things. And the second one is that prayer changes us. Well, let's think about that first one, which is prayer changes God. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. It reads, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Think about that. God declares from the end from the beginning, right? He knows everything that will happen, and what he says will come to pass. God's character is unchanging. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 reiterates this very thing, and as do other places throughout Scripture. God's character is unchanging, and his desires will come to pass. So it doesn't seem that prayer changes God. Therefore, prayer must change us. Author William Phillips writes in his book, Why We Pray, that, quote, prayer is thinking God's thoughts after him. We are to pray to be aligned with his thoughts, with his wonderful, gracious, merciful thoughts. You see, prayer aligns us with God's will. Prayer gets us thinking God's thoughts, speaking God's will, and therefore, it begins to transform us. That's why Scripture and prayer go hand in hand. As we read Scripture, it reveals God's sovereign will. And as we discussed this a little bit last week, when we pray according to God's revealed will, we can know for certain that God hears us. And not only that, he hears us, but that he answers us. You know, prayer isn't about conning God into doing something. Prayer is about aligning ourselves with God's will. And when that happens, when we begin to align ourselves with God's will, when we begin to pray God's revealed will, the Scriptures, when we begin to do that, well, supernatural things start taking place. Let me give you an example. Imagine this. Imagine if someone did something that was very painful to me. So they did something that wounded me. My natural response to that wound might be anger. It might be the feeling of not being able to forgive, depending on how deep that wound was. I may even desire revenge. I might want to retaliate against them. But when I read Scripture And I get to verses like Matthew chapter 6:14, where Jesus teaches his disciples that they are to forgive just as their sins have been forgiven. And that if they don't forgive, their sins won't be forgiven. Right? When I read scripture such as that, it becomes very difficult to pray, God, punish this person. It becomes very difficult to pray, God, let me retaliate or give me the opportunity to kind of get back at them, right? Because if I pray those things, it's not going to work because it's not God's will, no matter how much I plead with him. But instead, when I read God's word, it starts moving, it starts molding me and shaping my heart. And I begin to pray things such as, Lord, I need your help. God, I need you to heal me. God, without you, I can't forgive this person. God, I'm holding so much anger towards this person. I want to lash out. I need you to heal these wounds that are inside of me. Right? When I start praying those things, what I'm doing is I'm opening myself up to the Holy Spirit moving inside of me. I'm opening myself up to God's healing power, to God transforming me and making me whole. Really, prayer really benefits us, right? Prayer isn't for God. Prayer is for us. It's for you and for me. I mean, we could think of it this way. When we choose not to pray, what we're doing is we're actually harming ourselves because we're closing ourselves off to God's healing power. You know, if you and I, if we want to fully embrace the life that we've been created for, if we want to fulfill our purpose and our destiny and live to the full potential that God has put inside of us, then we have to be people of prayer. In Jesus' words, we have to be people who pray without ceasing. Over the past few weeks, we've been discussing prayer. And my hope, well, we've talked about a lot of things, but my hope is what you've really retained is this, is that prayer really centers on a relationship with God. It's about communing, it's about speaking, it's about sharing our hearts with God. The Bible teaches us this, that our God is a God who speaks and who has created us with the ability to speak as well. And prayer is how we speak with God. It doesn't have to be fancy. It's simply this, it's sharing our hearts with our Heavenly Father who loves us. God wants you to speak with him, and he wants to speak back into your life. So my prayer for you is that you will speak with God and that you will hear him speak back. Let me pray for you today. Father, we thank you so much for your love and your grace. Father, we thank you for the relationship that we have with you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins, for raising victorious from the grave and giving us the gift of eternal life with you. Lord, we thank you for your love, and God, we thank you for your grace that the scriptures say this is renewed in our lives each and every day. God, we thank you for that mercy. Lord, you call us to be people of prayer. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us this gift to be able to speak with you. And God, that you also give us this promise that you hear and that you speak back, that you answer our prayers. God, help us to be more sensitive to your voice. Lord, help us to be people who pray without ceasing. And Lord, we trust and believe that as we pray your will, as we pray your word, that God, that you are moving in supernatural ways, God, that you are answering our prayer, and Lord, that you are helping us, that you are empowering us, God, to truly live out the life that you created us for. Lord, we thank you that we have purpose. We thank you, God, that you've created us with destiny, and Lord, we just ask that you would help us fulfill that. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for us. Holy Spirit, give us wisdom and guidance in all that we do. And may our lives bring glory and honor to our God in heaven. Lord Jesus, we pray this all in your holy name. Amen.